Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is good to be here with my brothers and sisters of Bethany Lutheran Church. I bring greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ downtown at the gathering. You know, Kevin asked me to preach here, and he told me, hey, we're going through this whole Bethany blueprint thing. This is what we are about as a church, and we talked about worshiping. I'm guessing you talked about worshiping faithfully and forming spiritually and serving passionately and giving proportionately. And so, Kyle, can you come and you preach about this sharing intentionally? And I said, oh yeah, I got this, man. I got this. And I started thinking and praying about it, and I'm like, maybe I don't got this all that well. You see, for a long time, the whole idea of sharing intentionally, this whole idea of evangelism was one that was kind of foreign to me. Yes, I grew up in the church. Yes, every diploma I have from high school and college and seminary say Concordia. But the whole idea of sharing intentionally was one that I was intimidated by for a very long time. Oh, sure, I preached sermons on evangelism when I was in early in my career, but it was more of like, do what I say and not what I do. Because when I would go home, the reality was is that most of my friends I perceived to be Christian. Most of the people that I surrounded myself, I perceived to be Christian. You see, I was a Lutheran church worker married to a woman who taught in a Lutheran school, and when we hung out with people, we hung out with people from church. And even when we didn't hang out with people from church, we hung out with people from other churches. So this whole idea of sharing one's faith was one that I'm just like, I don't know about that, because I thought it was just this big scary thing. You see, I'd been trained that you have to say certain things and say certain words, and it had to look a certain way, and I was worried that I wasn't going to say the right thing. I was worried that maybe if I asked the question that was very popular for a long time, the Kennedy evangelism question, like, what would happen to you if you died tonight? They would just look at me and answer, I'd go to the morgue. I was worried that maybe they would ask a question that I didn't have the answer to, and I would just look stupid, and nobody wants to look stupid. I was worried that maybe I'd come across as being one of those people like, hey, come on, sit down, I got something to share with you. You want to be a part of this pyramid scheme that I'm part of? For only $100, you too can be saved, you know? And so it's very hard for me, not just to talk about evangelism, but to actually live it out in my day-to-day life. I mean, I tried to share my faith once or twice, and it didn't go so well. One time was, I was on my second date with my wife, Kendall, and she was like, I want you to meet my best guy friend. His name's Chad. So we went to Applebee's, and we're sitting down at Applebee's, and Chad and I are talking a little bit, and he says, hey, I'm Christian too. I go, yeah, really? I go, what church do you belong to? He goes, oh, I'm Mormon. I said, oh, too bad, you're going to hell. Didn't quite go as planned. I'm grateful that my wife stayed with me all these years, and I still am friends with Chad. But in the spring of 2012, God allowed me to experience kind of that aha moment of what sharing intentionally looks like. You see, in December 2011, I had knee surgery, and I used to love to run. And I had what was called microfracture surgery, because I really don't have a lot of cartilage in my knee, and my doctor said, you really shouldn't be running anymore. And I'm like, well, what can I do? And he goes, well, you can swim. Well, that's boring. Or you can ride a bike. I like to ride bikes. But where am I going to ride a bike? Because I had just moved to this new city, Fort Worth. And one day I found it. I found the answer to my question. I opened the newspaper and I was reading about this article about this group of folks that met on Sunday night, the Fort Worth Night Riders. They're a group of bicyclists that like to ride bikes. And they would meet at the chat room pub, and they would ride to another bar, and they would ride to another bar, and then they would ride back to the original bar. And I thought, hey, bikes, people, beer, I'm in! Now, before we get too far down this road, let me say this. They have a rule as a part of the Knight Riders. It's called one and done. So whenever you go to an establishment, you only have one beer and you're done. And in fact, if you had too much to drink, they'd ask you to leave the ride. So over the period of 2 or 3 hours of riding, you'd have like 2 or 3 beers, right? It was more about bicycling. It was more about getting to know the people you were with. And so Kendall and I showed up to this thing, and we began to ride with the Knight Riders almost weekly. And as we did, we began to build relationships with people in the group. And we began to realize that the relationships, like, crossed all types of boundaries. There are people in this group from all different faith backgrounds, all different cultures, all different sexual orientations, all different, you know, marriage and relationship statuses. And we began to realize that as we did life with these people, that most of our friends, most of the people we hung out with on a weekly basis were people that would be classified as spiritual nuns or agnostics or even atheists. I mean, this was a field ripe for the gospel. But due to all my bad experiences with sharing the gospel before that, I had decided, you know what, here's the deal. I'm going to ride with the Knight Riders, and I am never going to share the gospel with anyone because I wanted to keep my friends. Now, they all knew I worked at a church, and they knew that I loved Jesus, but I didn't want to be like some type of evangelistic SWAT team that would just like kick the door down and be like, you need to believe in Jesus, and you need to believe in Jesus, or you're going to hell. Because I knew that wouldn't bode so well with this group of folks. And so we didn't do that. We decided we weren't going to bring up Jesus. But what we did decide to do is be intentional in the way that we lived in relationship with the folks that we came in contact with. That we were going to love them well. We were going to hang out with them, even when it may not be popular with some of the church folks that we knew. We were going to invite them into our house to do stuff. We were going to go to their house to do stuff. We were going to hang out where they hung out. We became regulars at this pizza place that also served beer. There's a theme going on here, and you know, but we became regulars there because all the Knight Riders hung out there, and that was just like our place to be. I mean, we walk in, it was like cheers. Everybody knew your name. If we got invited to parties, we would go to parties, and it didn't matter who invited us or what type of party it was. In fact, there was one party we went to that Doug and his husband Todd invited us to, and as I was standing there waiting to get a drink, a guy turns around who had been associated with the church I worked at, which is a fairly conservative church, and is like, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, what are you doing here? I'm doing the same thing. We're just having a good time. We began to do life with people that you wouldn't normally do life with, or you wouldn't think you would normally do life with. And we sought to love them well because, well, that's what we were called to do. We were intentional about sharing life with others. And as we did it, we began to see some interesting things happen. You see, we learned that through intentionally sharing life with others around us, by seeking to love them well and treat them with respect, opportunities to share Jesus just came up. We didn't even have to talk about it. I mean, we were unapologetically Christian. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I did work at a church. Everybody knew I worked at a church. Everybody knew I believed in Jesus. And I'd actually say to them, hey, I love Jesus. I'd love for you to love Jesus, but I'm not going to shove him down your throat. And people actually appreciated that. In fact, we did a lot more listening than we did talking. And we listened to how people were hurt by the church or hurt by other Christians. And as we began to listen, opportunities for us began to come up to share. Now, when we invite people over to our house to have dinner, we would do something called prayer. It's something we do in our house. I don't know about your house, before every meal, right? And I would just kind of say, hey, guys, we're going to pray right now. And if you don't believe this, that's cool. I understand that. But if you just honor us with a moment of silence, then we'd say a prayer. Well, there was one time we were saying a prayer, and we were in a hurry, and it was a potluck meal that we had because we were hosting potlucks, and we hosted a bake-off, and we hosted a bunch of other stuff at our house, and we just invite everybody over. It didn't matter who you were. We'd just come on over, right? And we would have it, and I was big on we got to eat on time, right? And so I was like, well, we're running late, and hey, guys, we're going to pray. I just want you to understand that. So if you would, just pray with me, please. Dear God, we thank you for this food. We thank you for our family. We thank you for this time. Amen. And one of my friends who was agnostic looks at me and goes, that's it? You got us all sitting here, and that's all you're going to pray? I was kind of blown away by that moment. Some of the young ladies in the group would come up to Kendall, and they go, hey, help me understand something. So let me get this straight. You weren't Christian when you met Kyle. If you didn't know, a little known secret, I just gave my wife up. I don't think she's here. I didn't know if you were coming to this service or 1055. Sorry. My wife wasn't Christian when we met. I guess I was doing evangelism dating. I don't recommend it. But they would ask her, like, how did you come to faith in this Jesus? And she'd have opportunity to share her story. I even had a friend of mine who was atheist as I walked into this one place, and he goes, "Hey, Kyle, come here. I want you to meet my mom. Hey, mom, this is my pastor, Kyle." And we're both looking at him like, "You're an atheist, dude." "Oh, well, if I was a Christian, this would be my pastor." All because we chose to do life with people. We chose to love them as we had been loved. I mean, that's what Paul talks about in our reading in Romans this morning, doesn't he? In verse 9 and 10, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love never does anything that's harmful to neighbor. I mean, this particular text comes at the end, towards the end of Romans. And in this time, starting in chapter 12, Paul's talking to the Christians in Rome about this is how you live in the world. But what you have to understand is Paul has spent the previous chapters developing this realization that this is that you have been given life through Christ Jesus. And now he's calling us in response to share that life with others. Paul's saying that the same thing the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 4. We love because he first loved us. That in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our sin, even when we were far from God, he sent his Son to die and rise and do life with us. And so therefore, our whole Christian life is one of response to the grace and mercy and peace that we've been given through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us, came to dwell with us. And in response, he calls us to dwell with others. To do life with people, the people around us, the people that we come in contact with, where we live, where we learn, where we labor, where we laugh, and where we worship. You see, because as we share our lives with others, we end up sharing Jesus. At your baptism, at the moment that faith began in you, at the moment that God touched you and made you clean and alive, he set you free from the bondage of sin and gave you new life, he did something else. He ordained you. C.F.W. Walther, one of the first presidents of the LCMS here in America, said this: through holy baptism, each Christian has been consecrated, ordained, and installed into the ministry to teach, admonish, and comfort his neighbor. Each Christian is a missionary sent out by God into his own circle of activity. You and I, as redeemed children of the King, have been called to share that with others. How do we do this? Through doing life with others. And as we do life, just be you, be unapologetically Christian, and point them to Jesus. He doesn't call us to convert people. He does that. That's his job. But he calls us to love people, to love all people, even sometimes people we don't necessarily agree with, and to plant seeds along the way. As we expectantly wait for Christ's return, he simply calls us to invite others to join us in this expected expectation and allow Jesus to do the work through his word and through the Spirit. You see, the reality is that God, who made himself known to us in Christ, has chosen to make himself known to the world through us, his church. And as we go, he goes with us. And when we stumble, he's there to pick us up. And when we mess it up, because we will, he forgives us and he restores us and he reminds us that in our baptism he has made us new and his mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And his love for us never ends. You see, he equips us for the journey by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he works in us and through us, he brings others to know him so that he gets the honor and the glory and the praise forever and ever. As we live knowing Christ has died, but that Christ is risen. Oh, you like that, huh? You're still awake, yeah. And that Christ will come again. Amen?